You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome, welcome. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4. We are walking this road together as we do every single day, sharing our hearts, the hard stuff, the happy stuff, the easy stuff. We go into spiritual, just heart to heart with God. God speak, Holy Spirit speak. We go into the religious part of it. What do we do? What about our prayers? What about our actual rituals that we do? We go into things about the culture. What about the toys that your children are getting for Christmas, the interactive toys that may be logging your children's activities? What about social media? We talk about all those things. We talk about relationships, sex. We talk about it all. So anything that is on your heart, you are welcome to email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You are also welcome to log on to breadboxmedia.com and go to friend of the show. If you like the show, you can support it. Support Dr. Michelle Live. Just follow the prompts. You could also look at archives or listen to archives any old time you'd like. And you can do that by getting on to breadboxmedia.podbean.com. And again, if you text or call, you can remain anonymous. And if you email dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, you can also remain anonymous if you so choose. I usually will, unless you specifically tell me that it's okay otherwise, I usually will change gender, location, age, because all that usually is not as meaningful as the meat of the problem, meat of the subject, someone who has been on medications for a while, wondering whether they should get off, someone who's been married three or four times and starting to feel the pain of a scattered life and scattered children and a scattered family, wondering what you're doing wrong or right in your relationship, how you can maintain balance. I think today we're going to talk about temperament and balance and loving and your own balance and how we can balance between the thought that, as people often will say to me, and I have felt myself, well, how can I help someone else if I'm not okay myself? Or how can I spread love if I'm not loving myself? Well, there's answers to those questions, because it is all about balance. If you waited until you were perfect, if you waited until you were never angry or that you loved God fully day in and day out, you would never do anything. Mother Teresa, whoever we can think of in the most recent history of our looking at canonization and how we celebrate someone, some holy person's life, you don't find someone who said, well, I reached this point, I stayed around and I prayed and I reached a point and then I became so okay and so full and so perfect that then I was able to be God to everyone else or be like a God to everyone else. That just doesn't happen. We are human. So we have to, and you know, it sounds kind of trite, doesn't it? Well, of course we're human, but we tend to expect the unacceptable in other people. We tend to expect certain things of ourselves too. So let's talk today a little bit about relationships. Let's also talk a little bit about what it feels like to be overwhelmed, what it feels like to see in hindsight where you might have made mistakes in your relationships. Maybe it's too late. Maybe it's not too late for a particular relationship. And let's talk about with you, your children, your friends, your family, your coworkers, honoring your own temperament And understanding and realizing that other people have theirs. And that's some of the hardest things we can do, because as we reach the edges of experience in life, as we have our own hurts and habits and hangups and traumas and depressions and joys, we oftentimes tend to look at others through our own lenses, and we can either be fine when everything's fine with us, or project our fears, our fear of rejection, those kinds of things onto someone else. And how does that play out in real life? Someone recently was speaking to me about being offended, how they felt offended. And when they started really talking about this pain inside of themselves, this offended type pain, they started going a little deeper and deeper. As we talked about yesterday, and we talked about death, and thank you so much for being with me during that journey. I'm still in it, but it was really nice to be able to speak it. And it was lovely to be able to spend and share some of those feelings with you, and some of those feelings of loss and just not knowing, you know, when you're going to feel better type of experiences. I know you all have felt there. So thank you for that yesterday. So this concept of being offended, I talked yesterday a little bit about being in those concentric circles. You see it from the big circle, like in a pond. The big circle, which might be just the general feeling. And then you bring it in the second, gets a little bit more defined, and then a little bit more defined, and a little bit more defined, until you come down to the final circle in the center, where it goes down into the pond. And that's where we kind of got to yesterday. It was in the idea that when someone feels offense in the big circle, they're very offended. They're offended by someone else's. You know, I've heard so many people say, I can't tolerate idiots. Well, you know, that has always rubbed me the wrong way. And I just kind of, you know, shine it on, move on to the next thought. But it still bothers me. And when I really think of why does it bother me, because it assumes language is power. Language is very powerful. We are an intellectual species, an intellectual being. So therefore, oftentimes we have learned more and more as the world has progressed to live by words. The word is mightier than the sword. St. Francis de Sales talking about murdering with words, that you actually kill with words. St. Francis de Sales in his devout life. Talking about, he was referring a lot to gossip, and to even kind gossip in praying, kind of backhanded type gossip, where you're wishing them well, or you're praying for them in a group, but you're actually putting them down, or you're putting yourself, making yourself feel better because you feel so blessed next to their wretchedness. So St. Francis of Sales has a lot to say about that. So when someone comes to the world and verbalizes, well, I just can't tolerate, I have no patience for idiots. It shuts out the world, because I'm an idiot. There are times I'm an idiot. And what parameters are we looking at? Is it about medicine? Well, I can be an idiot in medicine next to someone who knows a heck of a lot more than I do, but may not look like an idiot in front of someone else. But what about fixing a car, or dog training, or figuring something out? Why I'm crying in that second? Someone else could say, well, hey, that's, you know, it's again, it's putting yourself above. And that, when we do that, tends to separate us from the rest of the world. Now, I want to, in this program, to bring it down to your spouse, your relationships, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your sister, your brother, your mother, your father, your coworker, your friend, your prayer group, your mother's group, your children's friends. It is too easy for us to turn our noses down. Is it down or up? I think it's up. I'm telling you, there's just lots of stuff I don't know out there. There's an awful lot for us to be wary of right now. There's a lot for us to be concerned about. I do want to talk a bit about social media and about Facebooking your children and Instagramming your children and some of the upside about that, but some of the downside about that too. This is something that's just now being really looked at. Could there some innocent beauty be actually harmful to your child in the Facebooking world? There was a person, and I will look up and see, I heard about her a few days ago, and I will look, I think she might be in, Sweden or Denmark, or I'll look it up, not in this country, who is actually suing her parents for putting on embarrassing pictures of her when she was a child on their own Facebook pages. So what is this? What does this actually do to a child? We will talk a little bit about that as well. So grab your coffee cup, look at the sky, take a moment for a breath and a prayer. Call me if you like, 573-4BREAD-4, text. We will see you after the break.
If you like what you hear on Dr. Michelle Live, please consider supporting the show by becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support today. Thank you. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. You are with me. You are with me. You're with me. We are with each other. Over and over and over again throughout history, we have looked at what makes us us, long before Christ. We've been defined in the spirit. We've been defined physically. We've been defined by our physical characteristics, our emotional characteristics. I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, there was a book that was very popular describing the temperaments, put into a more Catholic point of view, I suppose, not really kind of a religious point of view, which was great, but that is not a new concept. The temperaments have been around us for a long, long time. In fact, way back before Christ, in ancient Greece, somewhere I think around the 4th or 5th century, before Christ, there were talks between, as far back as Hippocrates, even further than that, Aristotle. They all were talking about these different things they called humors. Now, we have talked about them, personality traits, emotional traits. We look at, we could be New Agey about it. We can be religious about it. But it comes down to, just like we have earth, wind, fire, and air, we can all kind of say that's the four main driving physical forces of our world: earth, fire, water, air. That just seems to be it. They all follow principles. They all work together. They're all part of what makes up this earth, this planet, and as we're finding, the universe. So, and as we go deeper and deeper into little particles and atoms and things like that, it doesn't change earth, fire, water, air. The principles are pretty much all the same. Those are just the macro expressions of the tiny little elements that we know. So when we look at things and we talk about things in a way that seems antiquated, let's take a look at it. You know, I'm going to, okay, let me put this in a more material way and give you a kind of current day example, not in temperament, but in just the real world. So I am down in Kentucky, as I told you, in this little tiny town, visiting Jason, who, as you all know from yesterday, has passed. And one of his friends was coming in from out of town, and his friend is a medical student. So we were talking, and he's a young guy, really great guy. And he wrote this, he was a first author on an article, and he is going to be in a radiologist or some very specific specialty. But he was first author on a paper, and the paper, a journal article, not just a paper for class, but this is a published article. And it was about utilizing herbs. And he was saying that when he first started to want to do a paper on this, it was not met with a lot of embracing. It was kind of like, what? Kind of head scratching. And his whole premise is that our modern day medicines are our equivalent, our laboratory equivalent of what has been for millennia, from the day the earth began, our medicine coming up out of the ground, coming up in the water, coming up through the food chain, coming up from the sky. This is our medicine. And so he was breaking down in a scientific way different, a few of the compounds, I think lobelia was one of them, a few of the compounds that if we want to go and sound like we're getting all earthy crunchy about it, we get some little herb books or garden books, and or we can get new agey about it. But the reality is this, I mean, look in the Bible, hyssop. There, herbs are mentioned all over. I just mentioned hyssop because it came out off the top of my head. But herbs are mentioned all throughout the Bible. Ointments. The ointments weren't just ointments. They didn't just come from a CVS market. They made their ointments, their oils. They anointed, very healing properties in these things. So we need to understand in the same light that our emotions are pretty much the same emotions that we've always had. Troubles between men and women are pretty much the troubles that we've always had. It just different clothes and more, less things binding us together, all right? So, in the ancient times, the temperaments were also looked at. They were kind of they help us interpret who we are as humans and how we can become more of who we want to be by understanding these things. Now, they talked to them about temperaments and corresponding humors. So the humors, there were kind of in Hippocrates' time, Aristotle's time, and even long after that, we talked about the humors. And now we kind of joke about them, the humors, the vapors. They felt very ethereal, and they are kind of ethereal. They're our own little alchemy inside of ourselves and your children and your family. But in the writings of even Hippocrates, who's the father of medicine, they talk about the humors that needed to be developed to have health and balance. So Hippocrates, the father of medicine, and all throughout the ancient time, during the ancient cultures of the Mediterranean especially, where so much of our current thought and systems come from, they understood what it meant for people to be whole, balanced, well, and how to heal. So, when they described certain physical ailments, they had very physical treatments. They used earth, fire, water, and air. They had water treatment. They had the ability to understand when to use sunlight, how to use sunlight, when to use water, how to use water. when to use fire, how to use fire, when to create, when to be out, and the healing properties of just those four elements. The humors they talked about were choleric, melancholic, sanguine, and phlegmatic. Those were the humors. They represented a powerful existence, a powerful interchange between our surroundings and ourselves, how we relate, what part of our world do we relate to, why do some people, it sounds so odd, it sounds so Shakespearean, it sounds so otherworldly to think about somebody who, you know, we all kind of understand melancholy. Because melancholic, we've heard that in reference to certain kinds of music and a melancholy spirit, a kind of a sad, reflective, goth type experience. Sanguine is very different. Phlegmatic is different. Choleric is different. And we'll go in. The purpose is not to go into each one of those exactly, but we will go into those just to get a little bit of a snapshot. But I want to bring about the awareness of how important these things are, because they are linked. They are forces in of themselves. They affect our physical health. They affect our romances, our loves, our relationships, how we bring up our children, what we decide to go into. When you look at, let's say the medical world, it's what I know. I know a lot of different worlds, because I've been in a lot of different worlds, I've been a barista. So I understand certain ways and certain personality types. But you look in the medical world and it's a nice microcosm, because as people have said, as we're running around as residents, it's so amazing that the kind of personality that might be a psychiatrist will be very different than somebody who will be a hand surgeon, will be very different than someone who will be a radiologist. Now, you can't pigeonhole everybody, but you know that certain kinds of personality types go into being an EMS, a first responder, a emergency room nurse or doctor, an OB nurse or doctor, a cancer nurse or doctor. Those people have different balances of these four. If you want to go to the ancient, choleric, melancholic, sanguine, and phlegmatic, you're never just one or the other, but you're a balance of all of them. But some of them come out a little bit more. So they do sound very foreign, very antiquated, but there is something to them. So we want to go into that, because it's all about the way that we are going to react to our environment and to ourselves. And it will kind of tie into, what are you doing? What are you doing when you, how do you understand how your actions might affect your child when you put them on Facebook? So we're going to get into tying all that together on the other side of the break. Again, you can call 573-4BREAD-4, weigh in, or text. You can also email anytime, DM live at breadboxmedia.com, either during the show or any old time you want, because I will get them. We'll see you after the break. This is Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. We are walking this path together today, Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. As I said in the beginning of the program, we are intellectual beings. We do think a lot. I think too much oftentimes. And that's why we are constantly reminded, and I love, and really that really came and struck me and struck my heart. And it was like, blasted in my face 9 years ago was Job 12:7. I didn't find it because I read Job. I happened to just see someone quoting Job 12:7. Ask the animals, ask the earth, the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky. They will tell you, they will teach you, they will inform you. So we have to balance out our life. This program today is about balance. There's a reason why the ancients and the non-ancients had their own systems for balance in the human person, and why and how, even long before Christ, during Christ's time, Christ himself always talked and needed and worked toward balance. Always. When he was healing and taking on the sins of the world, when he was knowing this thing that was going to befall him, when he was walking and stumbling upon, but not stumbling out of confusion, but the biggest sins around, you know, things that would get people killed or would kill others. That's a lot of heavy stuff. Today, we might even put it in terms of debriefing or helping trauma work with the traumatized, helping the traumatized. In other words, people who work on burn units or people who work only with cancer patients, first responders, they need their own therapist. People who work with trauma, we need our own therapist to process the trauma we hear about. It's all about balance. And so we sometimes have to say, okay, that's why did Jesus spend all that time in the desert? Why did he say, I'm going off now to pray, to quiet? Because he walked and lived balance. So why am I going into this ancient, antiquated language? Because it kind of goes down to some basic stuff. And I think it's fun and good. And it's good to kind of reset our little intellectual buttons here to get a little bit into the simple world. So let's go through the four. Now, the four temperament types came about early in history. And as people thought about them and said, well, they don't really talk about everything, or maybe there's more classifications. They kind of went from four to five. And then philosophers, Immanuel Kant and psychologists, is when psychology began to get developed, started breaking it down more and more and more, and then kind of throwing out the four temperaments because they weren't detailed enough. They didn't like just classifying them into four. There were like little hybrids of each. So you can have a little bit of more of this and that, and then, you know, just branched off. And pretty soon we've got millions of people talking about the same thing. So sanguine, choleric, melancholic, and phlegmatic were the ancient ones. This is turning out to be a lesson in ancient medical and philosophical history. But here we go. So sanguine, see if you see yourself in any of these. You're no different than people that were wearing togas. I mean, we just dress a little differently. All right. So the sanguine temperament is traditionally associated with the air. So sanguine and air. That kind of, and imagine when you think about things bouncing on the air, you hear about music bouncing on the air, or the laughter bounced on the air. You think of something light and lively and carefree and talkative and fun and warm-hearted. So now again, we don't want to be one-dimensional about a person. However, these are traditionally, when you look at the sanguine personality, they're light, they're fun, they're talkative, they're warm-hearted, optimistic. They can be very artistic, very idealistic. They can be very musical. They also, though, again, the opposite side, if you get imbalanced in these temperaments, and I'm going from the ancient. Now, I'm not necessarily saying this is the way we all think about it in our modern world, but you know what? This is pretty cool. So they can also be very, as you would think, in the wind. Something change a leaf in the wind. the shift in a wind, you know, you've seen it happen, stirring up. So their emotions can be very stirred. They can also be very forgetful, very flighty, very lofty, not with their feet on the ground. So if they get a little bit too imbalanced, there's not a balance with the four humors, then they can also, they struggle with getting through a task. Now, I wonder sometimes whether we take even young children who are not formed. They might pass through the sanguine, pass through the melancholic, pass through the choleric, pass through the phlegmatic. And in modern terms now, I'm just saying this now as the ancient thing, if we're going to kind of play this game, because I'm playing a game now with this, but there's something to be learned here. So do we take that place where we should pass through some of these things as we collect? Imagine we're passing through the sanguine, the light, the airy, the playful, the tickly, the giggly, the flighty, the ADHD that we call it now, but the, you know, just always having the, as you know, the attention span of a gnat. Well, that's what a little child has. It's not a pathological condition. And we drug them earlier and earlier as if that is a pathological condition, and it is not a pathological condition. But that's right now, imagine if we didn't just take them and arrest them at that place, but looked at things on a continuum and understood that we need to bring in the more of the grounding type temperaments, and to see where in this, where do you lay in this one? You will be more one or the other. So you can be very changeable in a sanguine world. You can also, they can also just be fascinated with other people. They're going to be the kind that want to go into things like, you know, into music or acting or an artistic way, or sometimes even in the like a psychology or psychiatry, because they can just, they're just like the air. They admire the way the humans work. All right, so that's sanguine, just a little snapshot. Let's look at melancholic. Melancholic is a temperament that is, we all can kind of get that. It's usually associated with serious, introvert, cautious, depressed, moodiness, maybe even a little suspicious, focused. They also then, that kind of person, you imagine like a Beethoven sitting down, you know, with that, where you see that picture of him with his brow furrowed and he's just so into this, and some of his pieces will just, are, just evoke so much emotion. So they can be very focused and conscientious. So that's a good part of the melancholic world, right? To be a little bit in this serious, introverted, cautious, and maybe during our teenage years or during our pre-adolescent years, or maybe young adult, we get more into the melancholic. Just imagine this, a whole flowing thing. They might have high standards. They may not be, maybe a little standoffish, not completely in the giggly party mode all the time. But they can also have great sympathy for others and the human condition. We kind of jokingly, or people who are in it don't so jokingly, call it emo or goth, you know, someone who identifies with the depression and the depressiveness and the moodiness and the sadness in the world. Now, again, does that sound like something that a lot of teenagers pass through? Yes, I think it does. So we're, again, we're kind of playing this game with the ancient wisdom that huge fathers of medicine, fathers of philosophy came up with. So this isn't just something we can just shine on in some little coffee table book. This is something that formed our way of understanding the human person. All right, so let's look at choleric. Choleric. It's usually kind of extroverted, self-centered, excitable, impulsive, restless, maybe a little aggressive. They've got strong energies. They're kind of infective in their ability to like get people on board. There are good leaders. They get jobs done. They work till it's done. They don't put anything off. Like perhaps the sanguine, as we just looked at, might be not even putting it off. They're just, you know, like little hummingbirds, where the melancholic may decide to put everything off because there's everything in the world is so serious to them emotionally that it is not something that they're willing to even think that something, some task is even worth it. So again, look at it now, not in our work-oriented black and white world. Let's look at it as far as the personality goes. So in a caloric personality, they tend to be the extroverts. They tend to have a lot of esteem and respect and go-gettedness and practical solutions and let's get this job done type of situation. Now, we in this country, that's the ones that we think we should all be. And so we'll drug everybody so we can be that person. And I'm not downing medication. You all know that. And when we come back from the break, I'll give you my disclaimer. But I think this is very important to understand the balance of yourself. Give yourself and your family and your friends a break. Get some coffee. We'll see you on the other side.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You are with me today, Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4. You can log on and email, well, log on and look at past archives by going to breadboxmedia.podbean.com, but you can also email me anytime, DM live at breadboxmedia.com. If you have a question about temperaments and humors and things like that, or comments, or you see things in your own life, please feel free to email me, DM live at breadboxmedia.com. I told you I'd bring it all together and talk about this whole concept about Facebooking and children and why that could bother some people and what also some other issues that can come up with it. But we're not going to be able to get to that today. So we will take that up at another time. I think it's a huge topic. Let me touch on it real briefly in two ways. One, you have no idea what you do and how that will affect the personality of your child. So you have to be careful about that. So I'm not saying yay or nay for the child who is, I haven't gone into that. I'm not going to go into it today. I also want to tell you though, that there is a little danger. This is an aside. We'll get to it at another program. Told you I was going to bring it up today, but there is a little danger here. We live in a very narcissistic world, and that in the full complement of what it means, and that it's not just, you know, grandiose or some, it's not a two-dimensional situation. It's a really big epidemic that is harming families, that is harming relationships and marriages. And so when a child learns to live only by how they're reflected, how a parent reflects them. They are their Facebook status. It's only when they're doing fun, cute, darling things or anything else would be an embarrassment. You are perhaps calling a person to be not in balance, not embracing all their moods. You're rarely going to have a Facebook series of photos of your child in contemplation over a book. Or spending hours drawing one thing. And that's part of your child's temperament. But you might show them, you know, with their trophies or their winnings or this or that. So what does that tell the child? All right. So that's going to be that's a prelude. That's a spoiler alert for another program. So getting back to the temperaments, the reason I'm going into that is because we're talking about 400 years, 450 years before the birth of Christ, during Nehemiah, Malachi, a lot of the Old Testament people. That's when these ideas were coming about. All right. So they're about the personality, the behavioral tendencies, the dispositions. We're talking about Aristotle. We're talking about people that that when Christ was born, these are the very basics that Christ was coming to from the other prophets who were living at the time. So this all connects in with your life, your relationships. And yes, we go toward branching them out, but we're just talking about the basics. Just like with your human body, you have some basics. You're going to have some basics as if you want to go down to the detail and all the different elements and all the little things that come about in order to make you go. We go into the thousands and billions of the different little enzymes and this and that. But when it comes down to it, we've got some carbon, we've got some oxygen, we've got some things that make up our life forces. And without those, we can't get into all the little fine details. So if we understand some of the four basic temperaments that came about from ancient times, our ancient wisdom, we're going to be able to branch off from that and have a deeper understanding of who you are, who your family is, and you will be able to appreciate them more rather than seeing them through one pair of glasses. So we talked about the sanguine. We talked about the choleric. We talked about the melancholic. So let's talk about the phlegmatic. That's the other category that came from ancient times. So the phlegmatic temperament, it's tradition. Now, each of these categories are associated with an element. And if we have time, I'll tell you what element, actual physical element of our earth and our earth, water, air, and fire. I will talk to you a little bit about that if I have the time today. But the phlegmatic temperament, it's usually the more private, quiet, calm, patient. Now, it is also associated with, and not only, of course, caring, tolerant. This is in the fullness, the good part of it. There's always the reverse. In the later days, they talked about, Carl Jung talked about the archetypes, where you have you have flip sides of the same personality. Anything out of balance can be taken to excess, right? A depressive, moody personality without some kind of balance to it. The only straight melancholic can lead to problems. The straight phlegmatic, the straight sanguine, the straight choleric, they could all lead to problems if you don't have the full complement of what it means to be that in balance. Just like you can have a fire, but you don't want a forest fire. The phlegmatic tends to be the more steadfast. They're consistent. They're the worker bees. They're the they can be, in the good part of it, the faithful friends, the steady, the dependable. They tend to be there in where other people, they tend to be the support team. Sometimes they can be very slow to speak. They can appear like they really don't have many. You've met those kind of people who just stare and they're like, look like they're pondering an inordinately long period of time, and they make most of us feel very uncomfortable. They don't do it on purpose. They do it if you are of a balanced phlegmatic temperament, or you have a combination of that. It is more where you tend to ponder and wonder and think about before you speak. Many of us don't have it. Now, these are the four We're running out of time. Those are the four temperaments that came from ancient time. And from that branched off, just like our understanding of the human body, our understanding of came from thousands and thousands of years ago. This is all very, very useful stuff, I think, to get back, reset our buttons, get back to the simple, the kiss system, keep it simple, stupid, basically is what that's about. So when we look at the different elements that the ancients put with these particular temperaments, the melancholic that we talked about, its element is earth, more earth, deep. Phlegmatic is more water. It's weighty, it's patient, it's there, it soaks. The sanguine, the air, it's kind of, as we talked about before, lighter than air type of person. The choleric is fire, the do it now, like rapid fire. So these are the things I hope that you know what, we're going to go into it more tomorrow to look at how that works in your life and your family. But I want you to think about that and just like be observant, be that anthropologist today. You are the ancient Hippocrates and that's all you have. You came up with these ideas. You got these by your observation or your Aristotle or your before that or your Malachi. You're there because you've observed human nature and you've learned from your elders. And I want you to go into your own self, watch your children, watch your spouse, watch your boyfriend or girlfriend, watch what you want in life, watch your impatience with your friends or your coworkers. Is it because they're exhibiting one of these kinds of temperaments a little bit more than you're comfortable with? And perhaps you are being impatient with them. You look at what they are as a negative rather than as what they are as a positive and a compliment to you. Perhaps you are a phlegmatic type. You are the calm, the quiet, the steadfast, the feet on the ground, the Martha to someone else's Mary. And perhaps your child is sanguine. They're lighter than air. They've got paper mache little puppets around them and crepe paper flowers in their hair and they're dancing around and they're very different. Perhaps your friend is more like that and they, you can't understand why they can't bake and cook and be there with a crock pot full of things when you've slaved over your stove for so long. Or perhaps you think they're being silly while you're seeing the world just go down, the proverbial dark place or fiery place in a handbasket, and you don't understand why they can have so much fun and joy in life. So I want you to think about these things today. We're going to revisit them, bring them up to modern times. We will talk about this more tomorrow. We also talk about how you can utilize these thoughts to not only enrich your own life, your own prayer life, your own day-to-day life, but also how you can be a better partner with the one that you love or the one you are beginning to love or the one that you hope to love in the future. I am Dr. Michelle. Please email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. Tell me what you think. Tell me what your experience is or who do you think you are in these or what combination of these four temperaments might you be? I am Dr. Michelle. We will see you tomorrow walking on this road together.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.